When we lived in West Chicago, our across-the-road neighbors were Phil and Joanne King. They were a wonderfully unique pair. Phil was an airlines pilot, and Joanne kind of put me in mind of Popeye's girlfriend, Olive Oil. Now, I'm thinking, if you have a neighbor come over to your house and wants to borrow some milk, they're looking for a cup or two. But not Joanne. When Joanne came looking for some milk, she wanted an entire gallon. Now, this is explainable. They did foster care, and they didn't know from one day to the next when they were going to get a kid in their house. And so when they would get a kid, especially a boy, she would come racing across the street to get a gallon of milk for me because boys drink a lot of milk. So I learned to keep extra milk on hand for the Kings. You know, they used to give us the weirdest assortment of things. They would make organic spaghetti sauce. One time they gave us bacon. One time they gave us cornmeal. And they would always give us these zucchinis the size of your shin bone. The state of Illinois hit pay dirt when Joanne and Phil signed up for foster care. They would take in a kid and pay for them to go to the private school that Joanne taught at. They fed them good, nutritious food. They never had junk food, and I mean never. They wouldn't do well in my house. They made the kids read books and mostly biographies. Television was off limits except for the occasional ball game. Video games were considered to make the mind turn to jello, so there was none of that. All of this discipline in the life of a scared, undisciplined child took work, and a lot of it. But Phil and Joanne were not quitters. They knew that they didn't have very long to influence any one particular child. In fact, they were constantly trying to influence that kid. One night, we were at a band concert at the high school, and down the row sat the Kings with one of their foster daughters. And during intermission, Phil turned on his flashlight and quietly tutored her in math. They did not waste time. Now, Phil and Joanne had their hearts broken more than once when a judge ordered a child to be returned home. Part of their sorrow came from the awareness of what this kid was going back to. And part of it was they fell in love with the kid and were hoping to adopt them. When we moved to Rockford, Phil and Joanne were fostering two adorable young sisters. They were preschoolers. And the girls were treated like ping pong balls. Returned home, returned back to the Kings, returned back home, returned back to the Kings, and so on and so on. And finally, the Kings were made their permanent home, and we have the impression that they were eventually able to adopt those little girls. Joanne could be seen almost every day in the spring and summertime walking with the girls in the neighborhood. And the littlest one was probably about 3, and she was just old enough to ride a tricycle. One day, I saw Joanne and the littlest one out on a walk, and the little girl was pedaling that tricycle with all her might, and Joanne's long Olive Oil legs just kept up with her very easily. Somewhere on that walk, that little girl tuckered right out. When I saw them coming back, Joanne was carrying the tricycle in one hand and the little girl in the other. And this little child, still wearing her pink striped helmet, rested her head on Joanne's shoulder. And Joanne's head kind of leaned into her. And I could see Joanne's lips moving as she talked to her. And the little girl's head would bob up and down as she listened to Joanne talking to her. And as I watched this, kind of a wave of unexpected emotion hit me. I thought, what would these little girls' lives be like if Joanne wasn't there? What would happen to these little girls if Joanne was not existent? Did you know there are places in this world where millions of women are simply not there? They are missing. Their absence has left a void that no one could have guessed. Their absence has made parts of the world very dangerous places. Any and every culture will deteriorate without the influence of women. Frankly, women smooth men out. Mara Wissenhall wrote a book called Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences in a World Full of Men. She got the idea to write this book when she made a trip to China. And while she was there, something caught her eye in an elementary school. As she looked around, she couldn't help but notice there were very, very few girls and lots and lots and lots of boys. Mara's book explores the frightening gap in the genders in China. Boys widely and wildly outnumber girls. The reason for an overabundance of males in China is directly related to China's one-child policy. China's one-child family policy was implemented in 1979 and lifted in 2015. This policy was instituted because the population was growing too large and too fast to keep up with the food supply. And even though it's gone today, China's one-child policy continues to harm the country of China and its people. The first and foremost reason is China doesn't have enough marriageable women for its men, and it won't for some time to come. The government rewarded people who complied with this policy and punished those who didn't. Non-compliers were fined, sometimes sterilized, and forced to have abortions when they didn't want them. 90% of urban couples in China were convinced to restrict their families to one child, and the rural folk were much more reluctant to comply. It is believed that this policy reduced the population by at least 400 million people. Much of that reduced population was comprised of girls. The effects of this policy led to unwanted behavior in young boys. Chinese families typically had one child and four grandparents. This led to a syndrome called Little Emperor Syndrome. Because the one child was usually a boy, he was spoiled to the point of dysfunction. This harmed every aspect of culture, where the majority of the population was comprised of young males who were grossly overweight and spoiled rotten. The Chinese Communist Party under Mao didn't care about male behavior as long as rigid birth quotas were kept. The Chinese press made it no secret. You are to prefer boys over girls. The Western world had no idea that China's one-child family policy really was a death warrant for female babies. Chinese girls had become disposable. Once born, they were often aborted or abandoned. Americans who were adopting Chinese girls were either saving their lives or rescuing them from terrible situations. During this time period, China had one of the world's highest rates of suicide in women who were in their reproductive years. This pressure to produce one child, and that child better be a boy, was a stress that women living in America could never understand. It was considered to be the woman's responsibility to bear a son. Many women who repeatedly failed to conceive a boy became abused. And this whole thing discounted science, whereby we know that the father's role in conception determines the sex of the baby and not the mother's. The one-child policy, which caused couples to fish for boys, was hit or miss before modern ultrasound technology was developed. With the onset of this technology, selective abortions were off the charts in China. This meant if the ultrasound showed that it was a girl, the parents selected to abort her. Often couples aborted their babies until they got the desired result, a boy. In short, all too often, girls were aborted and boys were allowed to come to term. One of the continuing undesired results of selective abortion is an excessive, unsustainable number of boys. Geneticists have always been worried about China's gender imbalance and what it means for the rest of the Asian world. To this day, there are unintended consequences of choosing boys over girls. Many Asian men are having trouble finding wives. As many as 25 million Chinese men have not been able to find a wife because the women who would have been available for marriage do not exist. Now these men have to resort to non-traditional methods to acquire a wife. Some spend thousands of dollars on marriage tours to other Asian countries. So they pay a fee, which includes travel, lodging, and then a bride. Experts in the field of sex trafficking report that the majority of trafficked girls and women are not being sold as prostitutes like we have been led to believe, but they are being sold as brides. Some poor, unsuspecting farmers have had their wives stolen out from underneath their noses as they work on the outskirts of their fields. And then their wives are sold to the highest bidder to be another person's wife. And sometimes destitute families have sold their daughters into marriage. No matter which way a woman is forced into marriage, her life is usually a living horror. She is forced to bear an abusive stranger's children. She's ripped apart from her friends and family, and there is an unbelievable pressure to produce a son. It is the stuff of nightmares. In Asia, the absence of brides for marriage-aged men has led to a lot of social ills. For instance, young, even preteen girls are forced to marry men 20, 30 years their senior. There has been an unnatural spike in homosexuality. Unemployment and high crime rates escalate in cities with skewed sex ratios. And then there's the anger and frustration problem. As the years go on, it has been predicted that this anger and frustration will become the thing of riots and wars. Young unmarried men are responsible for much of the violent crime in these countries, as was true in our country. In fact, research shows there is a direct correlation between a high male-to-female sex ratio and the crime rate. Gender disparity is a huge problem for women. Contrary to what common sense would tell us, a scarcity of women would increase their value, right? You'd think they would become prized, right? But they don't. They quickly become objects for commerce and sale. Across cultures and throughout human history, where young single men are the majority, violence escalates. Male skeletons from the earliest of times show significantly more clubbing and stabbing wounds than do female skeletons. Even in the animal world, males are more prone to violence than are females. I'm fully aware it's not politically correct to say that gender and violence are linked, but crime statistics show that this particular stereotype is irrefutably true. Around the world, young single men are more likely than women to be incarcerated, to commit armed robbery, aggravated assault or murder, to be arrested for carrying illegal weapons, and to be convicted of rape. Part of the reason is found in that crazy little hormone called testosterone. Science has shown that young unmarried men have, on average, the highest level of testosterone found in any other male group. So here's how that goes. Single men's testosterone, they have lots of it. Married men without children have less, and married men with children have even less. What's the point? Marriage and children smooth out a man's rough edges. George Gilder said in his controversial book, Naked Nomads, it would seem more important for an ambitious young male to get married than to go to college. I reckon you're kind of waiting for the point now. So here it is. No culture is stable without women. The same holds true of cultures that don't have enough men. But this isn't the Father's Day sermon now, is it? The importance of women in the life of men is emphasized time and time again in the Bible. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And Proverbs 12:4 says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband." And Proverbs 31:10-12, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of his life." This is truer than we knew. In fact, world history points out how true this is. Women, I pray you have not come here this morning with a sense of low worth. I pray you're not down on yourself. I pray that you do know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. And I'm not just making up a bunch of stuff to make you feel good on Mother's Day. I'm telling you stuff that's in the Bible. When God sees you, he sees a keeper. Your worth is not based on how you feel, what you do, or whether or not you're having a good hair day. Your value comes from God. You are so valued by God that he sent his son to die for you. You have infinite worth. Women are a vital part of God's creation. Yes, for the reason that first pops into your head, baby's got to come from somewhere. But we are much more than that. When God made the first woman, Eve, he made her to be what he called a helper, suitable for Adam, Genesis 2:18. This isn't some patronizing little title like calling her a little helper bee. God's meaning isn't that the woman is nothing more than a domestic servant catering to the needs and whims of the lord of the manor. Nothing could be further from the truth. Ladies, you are important. You are an anchor in the lives of men, in the life of our culture. When God called the woman a helper, he meant that she would become the guiding force in a man's life. The word helper that is used in Genesis is the exact same word that Jesus used when he spoke about the Holy Spirit in John 14:16. In this sense, the word means powerful assistance, to rescue, to save. Eve was someone who would provide valuable and vital strength to Adam. God meant that part of a woman's function were to be comforters, advisors, advocates, interceders, and lovers. He meant that we are to give powerful assistance. We offer strength and keep men from blowing themselves and each other up. This is a sacred trust. It is a role for us to fill, and it comes from God. You know, it almost made me cry to imagine what life would have been like for those little girls if Joanne King wasn't there. Ladies, imagine what the life of your family would be like if you weren't there. Oh, life can be a drudgery at times. It can be hard. It can be thankless. But don't be absent. Be present. You are more important than you realize. If you weren't there, your absence would leave an unfillable void, and you cannot be replaced. Maybe you did come this morning feeling undervalued and overworked. Maybe you came here this morning carrying a heavy load. Maybe you feel that there is no support in this world for you. But there is the best kind of support for you. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Take heart. God is looking to support you if you are totally dedicated to him. And I know you are. You are a necessary part of God's creation. The world cannot survive without you. The world cannot survive without women. And I dare say, your workplace, your family, your community, this church, we cannot survive without women. We need you. And so today, with God's help, let us women not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are important in this world. Help us to fill our role and follow your will. In Christ's name, amen.